Our gospel on this All Saints Day has our Lord speaking from a mountain. He begins the Sermon on the Mount by teaching us the Beatitudes. And the Bible tells us that he taught the Beatitudes not only to his disciples, but to the crowds, like us. Jesus did a lot of things on a mountain. Tempted on a mountain, the feeding of the 5,000, the transfiguration. When he commissioned his disciples, he was on a mountain. And don't forget that Moses received the law in the Old Testament on Mount Sinai. And so today, Jesus climbs the western shore of the Sea of Galilee to give a new interpretation to that law of Moses. The Sermon on the Mount is the greatest teaching of the New Testament. And it begins with the Beatitudes. I call the Beatitudes the recipe to get to heaven. Or, I also used to teach my students that if they want to know what's going on in God's mind, do you want to know how God thinks? Read the Beatitudes. There we discover that God does not think the way we think. Thank God. The word beatitude means exalted happiness. So, if you were going to take a poll and ask people what is required in your life for exalted happiness, what answers would you hear? Wealth? Pleasure? Power? Honor? Winning the lottery? All right. But if you would ask these people if these things really brought them exalted happiness, they may not be so sure. Because they can't. What the world says will make us miserable is what God says will bring us exalted happiness, because we all want to be happy. The Beatitudes teach us that this is what will bring us happiness. Poverty, suffering, mourning, hunger, thirst, persecution, humility, meekness, and making peace, the peacemakers. In fact, Jesus says that these people are already happy. There's no more waiting. That is what a saint is. A saint is someone who makes sense out of present conditions, the present conditions of poverty and suffering and mourning and hunger and thirst. A saint makes sense out of them because of their conviction of the future of heaven. And I think as we gather here today, the beatitude that speaks to us all is certainly the beatitude in which our Lord said, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted." All of the planning, all of the time, all of the effort for this Mass is to bring assistance to your deceased loved one and to bring peace, comfort, and healing to all of you. Saints are essential to the life of the church. They're not just our models. They pray for us. That is why the communion of saints is a particularly Catholic statement, and the communion of saints is a particularly Catholic belief. We pray it in our creed, that we believe in the communion of saints. They pray for us. We need their prayers, because their prayers are prayers from heaven. And we pray especially for the prayers of our greatest saint, the Blessed Virgin Mary, as well as Joseph. And that is why the candles, after they're carried forward, will be placed on their altars of our greatest intercessors. Tomorrow is All Souls' Day. Tomorrow, we do not honor the saints as much as we pray for the souls in purgatory, because they make up the church too. When I say I'm going to church, the word church actually comes from the word ecclesia, which means gathering. It's not a building. It's a gathering. But the church is comprised of the saints in heaven. The church is comprised of these souls in purgatory. The souls in purgatory are closer to God than we are. And the church is also comprised of the pilgrims, the church militant. It's comprised of us who are here. November is a very powerful month for the saints, the souls in purgatory, and us, because November keeps death before our eyes. Saint Benedict taught his monks to keep death daily before their eyes. That's why we visit cemeteries, for example, in the month of November. Saint Benedict believed that his monks would live different lives, better lives, if they kept death daily before their eyes. I had a funeral yesterday. Buried a man who was almost 96 years old. Certainly attending a funeral mass keeps death before our eyes. It's a grace to live our lives in the context that we will not be here forever. And so does this Mass. It's not just for our deceased, it's for the living. So I want to thank all of you for being here. I believe that your loved one knows that you're here. Many of you have traveled distance to be here to represent your loved one. To carry that candle is an honor, because in the end, we always hope that there will be someone to carry our candle and pray for us. So I thank you for being here, because our ties with our loved ones do not unravel at death. And there is no death that is unnoticed, especially in the months of November and December. These months of November and December can be particularly difficult times. Christmas, Thanksgiving, the holidays. I want to remind all of you that they will be different without your loved one, but they can still be good and memorable by God's grace. In the last year, we have lost 29 people, 14 men and 15 women. The youngest is 27 years of age, Shayna Klingensmith. Our oldest is 97 years of age, Mildred Kostalecki. We buried 9 people in their 90s, 9 people in their 80s, 5 people in their 70s, 1 person in their 60s, 3 in their 50s, 1 in their 30s, and 1, I said, in her 20s. There's a German proverb that says, those who live in the Lord never see each other for the last time. Remember that as we prepare to see the video, which will remind us of the lives we've lost. And I also want to say that as we remember our dead, we always have to remember to let our deceased be at peace. What I mean is, we may need to let go of regrets. We all have regrets as we live life. Some of you may be sitting there thinking, I should have done this or that, or I should have said this or that. Now that my loved one is gone, your loved one knows that. We believe your loved one is at peace. Healing progresses tremendously when you can let the regrets go and allow your loved ones to be at peace. I pray that upon all of you as we now watch our memorial video.